Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Council of Elrond. In today's episode, we have the character of Gollum standing on trial. Myself and Johnny were discussing some of our thoughts on Gollum throughout the week, and I noticed that he was leaning towards the fact that Gollum was a flawed, good character, whilst I disagreed with this. We thought that we would have a debate and let you guys decide. So the courtroom is in session. The defendant Gollum, good or evil, you decide. I'm Dave, and challenging me on this debate is my co-host, Johnny. So the layout of this debate will be as follows. One of us, maybe Johnny, will flip a coin for the opening arguments, and whoever wins the toss-up will start. There will be three uninterrupted points from each person, one going after the other. Then we shall see if we can sway each other off our stances before our final closing arguments. So please, we would love to hear your comments and thoughts. We want to know, is Gollum good or evil? Because we have our stances, but we need your input. So guys, you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can just check out the links in the podcast info section, and that's where you can go. Right, so let's get into it. Let's flip a coin.
Coolio. Okay, cool. So I'll flip a coin to see who gets to read their arguments out first. So I'll flip it so you can tell me heads or tails. What do you want?
I'll go heads.
And it is tails.
Boss.
As you can see.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So does that mean that I get the choice or does that mean that I go first now?
Well, I'll let you decide.
I'll let the ring bearer decide. Right.
Do you swear that the evidence you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Please be seated.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Okay, well, so for my first point, I would like to speak about how I think that Gollum is the victim in all of this situation. So Gollum was not a bad person before he encountered the ring. It's an external force. It's an external evil acting through him. He was seduced by the ring, but Tolkien tells us that anyone would have been. Even Gandalf knows that were he to even touch the ring, he'd have a really hard time giving it back, and that through him, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine. Therefore, we ought to see Gollum as a victim of fate rather than a perpetrator of evil. He is a victim in every sense of the word. He is abused and neglected and clearly wants affection and love, which he finds to some extent in Frodo. This one person who is kind to him in God knows how long brings out the true character of Gollum, and we see for a brief time his road to redemption. It also makes sense how Gollum would take this apparent betrayal so hard and digress back to his coping mechanism of this evil alter ego after Frodo lets Faramir's man take him and torture him. His whole life is a tragic story of addiction to a thing that his mind should never have had to deal with. We cannot blame him for doing something he had no control over, especially when we know that possibly no one on Middle-earth would have been able to overcome the power of this ring. Sméagol killed his best friend and kin Deagle just 1 minute after coming into the proximity of the ring. This was a person that he truly loved and was capable of murdering him that soon after falling under the influence of the ring. For me, this is a demonstration of the original character of Sméagol. Easily manipulated and weak, but evil, I don't think so.
Right. My first point is actually quite valid because it may be a bit of a response. So I would just take it away from Sméagol for a moment. And if we look at the 2019 movie The Joker, people pity this character, but he was insane. He was also insane. As a child growing up, he had been beaten, toiled with, abused mentally and physically. He was malnourished. He was chained up and he had no friends other than his mentally deranged and hallucinating mother. But that didn't stop the fact that he committed heinous acts, which shaped the way everyone viewed him and the way that he viewed himself. Would you really honestly not call the Joker evil? Now, take all those acts made by the Joker and multiply that by 500 years and you have the character of Gollum.
Hmm. Right.
Touché.
I like that you're bringing the Joker into this.
Yes.
I love the Joker. So my next point is going to be the similarities that Gollum shares with Frodo. So Frodo starts out the book as a lovable hobbit who adores his uncle Bilbo and is highly respected and has great love for many around him. He develops bonds and friendships easily, and we know from early on he is willing to lay down his life for his friends and to save Middle-earth. He knows that the quest will probably claim his life. Yet, as the trilogy evolves, he starts to feel more alone and weighed down by his burden. This creates a kinship with Gollum, since he is the only one who understands what Frodo is going through, having his heart and mind so twisted by the ring. Frodo, through no fault of his own, is starting to become like Gollum, and here we see what Frodo could also become if things continued down the same path. Frodo, after a way shorter time than Gollum, finally becomes so corrupted by the ring that he claims it for his own, instead of choosing to save all of Middle-earth. So, in essence, we could say that Frodo could have willingly caused global genocide if he weren't stopped by Gollum. However, no one argues that Frodo is evil. We recognize that it is the evil of the ring acting through him. Gollum is exactly the same, only further down the road than Frodo, and 500 years old, so his body is haggard and he looks gross. Hence, he looks evil.
Very good point. Very good point indeed. Basically, time and time again, Gollum is given the chance. He's given chances after chances, but no matter how much he makes a mistake or he commits a crime, he never learns. Right up until his final selfish evil decision in stealing the ring. He's offered redemption on numerous moments, but he never takes them. No matter how good he seems to turn, he will always revert back to his evil ways. This is his evil character. So you may start off in life a good man, but ultimately, if you die a bad guy with no redemption, you are the bad guy. Just like in that line in Shutter Island, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's just come to me now. Is it better to live as a monster or die as a good man? I think Gollum lived a monster. I only just thought of that last part there.
Cool. Very, very good. Right. My third and final point is that I would say that Gollum is basically a child. Innocent in the sense of being naive and unknowing, he doesn't understand evil or morality, empathy, or even right and wrong. He's like a child in these situations, unable to grasp the basic concepts of good and evil. We see his childlike behavior in his delight at playing the game of riddles with Bilbo, and also the insanity in the reality of the situation. Can you imagine telling someone that you're going to eat them if they lose a game, and you expect them to accept that? Yet you complain and whine like a baby when you lose and didn't ever really intend to keep your end of the bargain. The fact that Gollum thinks Bilbo is being nasty because he's doing everything in his power to avoid being eaten shows his clear lack of understanding of empathy. Like a child, he sees things from an utterly self-involved point of view. He is incapable of seeing things from another's perspective. So how can he be evil if he cannot truly understand the consequences of his actions? How can we hold him to the same moral standards when he so clearly can't grasp morality? Again, thinking Bilbo is being mean for trying not to get eaten. A child is not a bad person if they scribble on the walls. They don't do it from a place of evil. It's not like some premeditated Machiavellian plot scheming. They do it because they don't understand the consequences of their actions and because they don't recognize that they shouldn't do it. Throwing their food on the floor is the same as not throwing their food on the floor. So how can Gollum be evil when he considers eating Bilbo to be something as innocuous as not eating him? Imagine an adult scribbling on the walls or throwing their dinner on the floor in a restaurant. They would be considered a dickhead. It's not the same thing. The action is not the underlying factor in good and evil. It is the intent and the action carried out together with the knowledge and the understanding of the result that makes something evil.
Very good. My third and final point is that Gollum is actually the only sentient evil character that is not under the influence of Sauron in one way or another. Therefore, he's even more evil. Like Faramir says about the Haradrim warrior that he kills, quote, "And if he was really evil at heart, what lies or threats led him on this long march from home, if he would not rather have stayed there in peace?" Pretty much every one of Sauron's servants are either bent to his will or blindly follow his service out of fear or lack of inherent willpower. Gollum, however, hates Sauron, but still commits atrocities every day, so he has no excuse whatsoever. The fact that he is more of a choice, this actually makes him more evil in my eyes.
"You don't know the power of the dark side."
Well, I can see that you're clutching the straws of the clinically insane route.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not. Yeah, I don't want to just say like clinically insane, because I think that's the argument that you would put for the Joker. So going back to your first point about the Joker, he could probably win a court case in the fact that he's clinically insane. And well, I suppose I think Gollum would also be considered clinically insane, because it's not actually, he's been so tormented and twisted over so many years that his mind has literally been split into two different characters. And he has, as I called it before in the beginning, he has a coping mechanism, which is this evil side to his personality that comes out to protect his actual true personality, which is his soft, kind, childlike, maybe a bit innocent and easily manipulated character. That, for me, is his true character. He's had to create this coping mechanism because of the years of torment that he has gone through. Because, as I said at the beginning, he has an addiction. He's like a junkie. He is addicted to this ring. And it's like, it's not like being addicted to heroin. This ring is the most addictive and crazily evil thing that exists in the entire world. So he never stood a chance. It's like, imagine heroin from a different planet that's like 50 times more addictive when it comes to Earth. The way that like Superman is 50 times, or I don't know how many times, more powerful than humans when he comes to Earth. It's just, we couldn't handle the power of, imagine Superman was taking drugs on Krypton and they were like enough to get him high. And then suddenly we got a hold of those drugs. We wouldn't have a chance of surviving. We would just be like immediately in the presence of those drugs. We would be just completely and utterly like owned by that drug, and you wouldn't be able to do anything. And it's unfair to think that it's his fault somehow, because as I said before, he's just a victim of fate. And it's just unfortunate that he happened to be where he was in that moment.
Yeah, I understand. And when you say fate, I would agree with you that he's a tragic hero in some circumstances, because he had to be the one to take the fall for Frodo to complete his arc and blah, blah, blah. But just getting back to, you're talking about the ring being like a drug, like heroin, but like Frodo didn't murder anyone and Bilbo didn't murder anyone or anyone else. Actually, nobody else that had the ring from like the good side, they didn't make any decisions near as bad as Gollum did.
Well, Deagle tried to murder him at the same time as he murdered Deagle. It wasn't just he attacked him from behind or something. They had a full-on brawl and they were both, I mean, yeah, again,
maybe Deagle's evil too, but Deagle's not on trial.
But I don't think we can just assume, I mean, you think of two friends out on a boat fishing and then suddenly you drop something into the mix and these two best friends and kin start to attack each other and try to kill each other until one of them eventually kills the other one. Can you just say these are two evil people, or that external factor that's been thrown into the mix has suddenly caused this crazy, unnatural reaction?
Of course, we know the ring is evil.
And also,
like, how much does it bring out in each? Like, does it completely transform you, or does it just, like, Frodo, he has some bad qualities the further he goes on, but he's still able to keep to his true character. Like you mentioned earlier how Frodo and Sméagol or Gollum are both very similar. And but I just feel like Frodo's good nature shines through even when he has the ring, even though he does make some very bad decisions. Even his like final decision with the ring is a terrible one, but luckily for him. Luckily
very
for
bad
him,
decision.
but luckily for him, it's like premeditated murder that just, you know, it just fell through. His alarm clock didn't
Luckily
go off.
For him, who was there?
An evil character.
Gollum. Yeah, Gollum was there to save the day.
Yeah, but one evil doesn't counteract the other, does it?
Yes, it does. That's Matt's.
No, but Frodo's not in charge. Can we get the eyewitness accounts, please? Where is what really happened to Deagle that morning?
Bring Frodo up here. He should be on trial too for Baylor. His attempted genocide.
Yeah,
Frodo and Thanos would have a great time hanging out.
And like, so we kind of hinted at this whole thing of Gollum being a separate character to Sméagol as well, and I know he is, but even if we're just going for Gollum being one clinically insane person and Sméagol just being a happy-go-lucky character before Gollum came along, if they're being two separate entities like Anakin and Darth Vader and all that jazz, Sméagol did actually team up with Gollum at the end of the Two Towers to trap Frodo in an attempt to kill him in Shelob's lair, which is quite an evil act. So even if we're just looking at Sméagol being like the pure-hearted goodness, he did some pretty evil in the tiny bit of screen time or book time that we got to see of him. So the whole clinically insane thing, I don't know. He's a 500-year-old child. I think he would still be evil no matter how insane he is.
Yeah, I think the fact that all he's been through, and we can still see, like, for example, to go back again to your first point when you spoke about the Joker and do we consider the Joker evil? Again, there's an argument to be made for clinical insanity.
There is.
But even if you forget about that for a moment, do I consider the Joker to be the same as Gollum? And you said maybe Gollum is even more evil than the Joker. I disagree, because we can still see the remnants of his original character in Sméagol or in Gollum. And we can see, like, for example, whenever Frodo initially starts to be kind to him and show him, like, just to show him kindness, his, I can't remember the exact quotes from the book, but Tolkien says something like he uses the verb to caper. He says he capers with delight. And then he actually sobs and cries when Frodo tells him off and scolds him. And so he's just very, again, childlike, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's actually just so, you know, he's just so in search of that approval and that love and that affection from another person, because he just hasn't had anything like that in hundreds and hundreds of years. He's just been trying to survive, and anywhere he's gone, he's been, you know, kicked around, and he's been looked down on as this horrible creature. And even after all that, and even after 500 years of torment, as I said, he still has this glimpses and these moments of goodness in there in his soul. And we can see that redemption, there is a path for that redemption. And that's, you can't look at the Joker and see any path to redemption. He's just completely gone. Similarly to the fact that Tolkien says, Elrond says that even the enemy was not evil in the beginning. And he's speaking here about Sauron. So we know that none of these people start out to be evil, but they do lose their way along the path. And then eventually characters like Sauron and maybe the Witch King, there's no turning back for them, because they have just gotten to a point where they are so committed to this dark path. On the opposite side, then, we've got characters who are completely good, like Aragorn and Gandalf. But we know that somewhere in the middle, there is this gray area, and that is where Gollum lies. And it's not this simple good and evil. It's that it's between those areas. There is this, there is this conflicted character, like Gollum, also like Boromir to an extent, and, you know, maybe Denethor, and also even we get a few moments where we think Grima is going to find redemption when Théoden reminds him that he was once a man of Rohan. And we can see Grima's decision that he has to make lying before him. And ultimately, of course, he chooses to commit that final act and kill Saruman. Of course, we're speaking about the film version here, but it's interesting to consider the true character of Grima and the similarities he and Gollum share as well. And so basically, we can see that it's not just he's pure evil. There is a gray area, and it's all about just moments in his life. And that's why we can't just say he is an out-and-out evil character. He still has that redemption and that possibility of redemption inside him.
Okay. So in response to how you said that Gollum always has that path of redemption, that is true. But the thing is, he doesn't go on that path of redemption. He doesn't redeem himself. The end of his story is him stealing the ring back and, you know, basically he puts the whole world in jeopardy by doing this. And that's his fight. He gets his moment where he can choose good or evil. He basically has a fork in the road and he goes down the evil path. And that's what he will be remembered for forever. And that's what defines him. I think the whole way through reading the books and watching the movies, you are on this path of, will he be good? Will he be evil? Like, he has moments of good where you empathize with him, but that's kind of like false empathy. That's like how have you ever seen the Ted Bundy documentary where like all the women in the courtroom were just like falling in love with him, even though he was like a serial killer and like a horrible, horrible serial killer. So that's kind of like how people are kind of going, oh no, he can still do right. Or like the whole Vader and Anakin thing, and Vader ultimately chooses the light and that's what makes him a good character. If Vader at the end goes, no, I'll just like kill you, Luke, then everyone would be like, right, he was the biggest bad and he never turned. But like Gollum,
but he never showed a sign of redemption in his entire like career of being the big baddie, really. He was always kind of evil up until that final moment. And I think I would say
that hallway scene of him and Luke walking down, where he's like, you know, he doesn't show signs of like turning back to good, but he definitely shows signs of like a fathership, a fatherly figure. And he's like, Luke, together, you and I, we can overthrow the Emperor. But like, I don't
know. Yeah, we could commit evil together.
Well, he doesn't say that. You know, he's got signs. You can definitely see in that final movie where he's got signs.
He says he wants to overthrow the Empire and rule the galaxy together.
Yeah, no, sorry. That's in the Empire Strikes Back. I mean, like in the Return of the Jedi, when he's walking down and he's kind of like, Luke, you don't have to do this. I can't remember what he's saying to him, but there's definitely signs before Luke visits the Emperor where you're like, right. Vader really kind of, he's conflicted. You can see, even though you can just see a big mask, you can see confliction in his non-eyes. I don't know.
It's a very expressive mask.
It is. It's amazing acting. but to sum up on that little rebuttal, it's like Gandalf calling Pippin a fool, but an honest fool. Gollum is evil, but a necessary evil at that. He was meant to guide Frodo, and luckily his evil was kept intact.
That's an interesting point.
I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully. That was why you couldn't destroy me. That's why you won't bring me to your Emperor now.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do.
Suit your feelings, Father. You can't do this. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
It is too late for me, son.
My final piece of evidence that I want to bring to the court is the case of
Button.
No, is the case of Erdogan versus Kifty in April of 2017. This was the case. Have you heard about this?
No. I thought these were characters from the Silmarillion.
No. These Erdogan are characters from real life. Mr. Erdogan, who's the president of Turkey, he was in 2017. So Bilgin Kifty was a doctor in Turkey, and he had previously been indicted for violating Article 301 of the Turkish Constitution, which punishes those who denigrate state officials.
Objection. Sorry. Proceed.
So, a Turkish doctor has been acquitted of publicly denigrating Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, by comparing him to the Lord of the Rings character Gollum. Bilgin Kifty was acquitted by the criminal court of violating Article 301 of the Turkish Constitution, which censors anyone who publicly denigrates state officials, the government, and the judicial institutions of the state. Kifty had posted three pictures of Gollum in various states, such as in shock, surprised, and while eating, alongside pictures of Erdogan caught in similar poses. Gifty would have faced up to 2 years in jail if found guilty. His lawyer, Hikran Danisman, welcomed the decision. Danisman said that his team had been forced to repeatedly rewatch the Lord of the Rings series.
God damn it!
In order to build their argument that Gollum was not evil, and the comparison with Erdogan was therefore not offensive. In this sense, we have saved Gollum's reputation, he explained. Peter Jackson, the director of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, argued the character depicted in the images was in fact Sméagol, the good aspect of Gollum's personality. In a joint statement with filmmakers Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens in 2015, Jackson said, "If the images are in fact the ones forming the basis of this Turkish lawsuit, we can state categorically none of them feature the character known as Gollum. All are images of the character called Sméagol. Sméagol is a joyful, sweet character. Sméagol does not lie, deceive, or attempt to manipulate others. He is not evil, conniving, or malicious. These personality traits belong to Gollum, who should never be confused with Sméagol." So, this is a court case in which the president of Turkey brought a man, a local doctor, to court for comparing him online to Gollum. And basically, that is against the law in Turkey, and they have high censorship against people in public positions. And basically, eventually, the guy who was accused won the trial because his lawyers proved that the character of Gollum was in fact not evil.
Wow. Order.
Boom.
But that's a Turkish court.
I just rambled on for a while.
Ramble on. Oh, can I bring that lyric into the courtroom, please?
And you may not.
The evil one crept up and whatever the rest of the words are.
Slipped away with her, yeah.
Was that Gollum the good one or Gollum the evil one?
Robert Plant's perception of Gollum has got nothing to do with the actual character of Gollum.
I would argue that Peter Jackson's perception of Gollum has nothing to do with Gollum either.
Well, he's bringing that information to a court as a learned scholar of Tolkien.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive fan, you know, as in...
Massive fan.
Robert Plant was writing a song that was just lyrics that he put into, you know, that rhymed and sounded good in the moment. But yeah, no, I'm sorry. That evidence has been thrown out by the court.
I will throw it back in. Was this evidence found legally?
Which evidence?
I don't know. Whichever one you want. Because I want to throw it out.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order! They're out of order!
Right, will we get into our closing arguments?
Sure.
Will we flip for it, or...?
No, just... you go ahead.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I would like to close my argument with the age-old question. Are people inherently good or are people inherently bad? The answer is neither. People are defined by the actions that they make. What character-defining actions shaped Gollum to be the person that he is? Manipulation, stealing, telling the evil enemy where to find the ring, lying, betrayal, murdering his best friend, and ultimately his final decision, which comes from greed, selfishness, and plain outright evil, which is stealing the ring and surrendering the will and fate of humanity and the free peoples of Middle-earth before he dies, leaving behind a legacy which can only be of evil. Thank you very much.
Boo!
Sorry, what's that? The jury are clapping. Oh, thank you very much.
Because I have just entered the courtroom to give my final statement. My closing argument. So thank you for your applause, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just keep this short and simple. I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to keep it short and simple. I'm going to, yeah.
Boo. Remove that.
Gollum.
Evil one.
Gollum is more complex than evil. He is a tragic figure that represents the potential outcome of Bilbo and Frodo, a form of foreshadowing should they keep the ring. The ring found him to be weak-willed and easily corrupted. And corrupt him, the ring did. By the time he enters our story, he's more talking animal than sentient being, relying on instinct and cunning than rational thought. Animals kill and eat their own. Does that make them evil? Gollum was not much different by this point. Consumed by the ring, cursed with unending life so long as the ring could use him, reduced to slinking through dark, killing and eating what he could find, but always chained to the ring, craving it like a junkie needing a fix. Again, he was reduced to his base animal instincts. But evil? No, not really. Evil requires thought, planning, intent, and outcomes. Evil wants to breed more evil, spread, extend, grow. Gollum just wanted to eat and keep his precious. He was a wild beast with the gift of speech and cunning. No more.
Court is adjourned.
So guys, that's it. That's all of our points. Johnny was battling from the side of good. I was battling from the side of evil. But those are not our distinct black and white opinions on the character of Gollum. We just wanted to have a little fun courtroom debate for you guys. And we want to know what your ultimate decision is. Is he good or is he evil? So please get in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We are at the Melonheads underscore, sorry, at Melon underscore heads on Twitter. You can see the rest of our social medias down in the podcast info section. So please get in touch. We'd love to know what you guys think.
Yeah, exactly. And as Dave said, these aren't our true opinions, really. Maybe we kind of have similar opinions to what we just said, but obviously we don't see Tolkien's writings as black and white. It's just, is he good or is he evil? But we did think it would be fun to kind of give you those arguments in a sort of a courtroom style podcast. But one last thing I want to mention about Tolkien's writing of the character development of Gollum was that I think it should be considered very brave, the way that he actually created this character, and that typically an author might write a story in which a character is at first evil or bad, yet show some good qualities and offer the possibility of redemption. This can make the reader feel intrigue in their backstory, and ultimately this character could often complete that arc and find their way back to the light, even if it results in their death. Therefore, the reader's sympathetic feelings for this character are justified, and we can come away from the story feeling satisfied that we cared for this person because we knew on some level that they were good all along and would do the right thing in the end. Tolkien doesn't do this. He makes us care for a character who has the possibility of redemption, but ultimately does not carry out the ultimate act of heroism to constitute absolution. This is quite unique and sets Tolkien apart from his peers. Had Gollum survived and helped to destroy the ring, it probably would have taken away from Frodo's redemption and lessened the impact of the story. It was Gollum's tragic fate that enabled Frodo to have a happy ending. Gollum is as much of a hero, or tragic hero, as Frodo in that he shows what might have been. At the end of The Return of the King, Frodo says about Gollum, and I quote, "But for him, Sam, I could not have destroyed the ring. The quest would have been in vain, even at the bitter end. So let us forgive him."
The court finds you guilty and sentences you to be shot.
Well, that's all on this week's episode of the Council of Elrond, as the court is now adjourned. The next step is for you guys to act as our jury and decide whether Gollum is good or whether he's evil, if you had to decide in a court of law. We all know that he is a morally ambiguous character, but if he were to stand trial, where would your needle land on the scale? Please let us know by sending us a message on our socials. We might put up a poll for you to vote on or something, but I want to hear your reasons also. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already, and maybe consider leaving a review after this episode because, well, you know,
we want it. We need it.
Thanks very much, guys, and we'll see you next time.